folks and gentlemen. It is indeed very interesting times indeed as we are about to begin the trial of Edgar Roz. We have been following the investigation up to this point, but let me recap the case for those of you who have not seen the story up to this point. During the Vampire Wars, Edgar Roz and his team of New York Police Department detectives had aided and abetted vampires who had not committed any other crimes than the mere act of being a vampire. This is technically treason, seeing as how these were combatant hostiles to the United States. However, Edgar Roz and company disagreed. They are American citizens, and it would be against the Constitution to unrightfully convict those who were not in active rebellion against the United States. This is the core at the case. Did Edgar Roz commit a war crime? Does the Vampire Rights Amendment free him from those charges? It is a bit hard to tell. Character witnesses, witnesses of his previous acts, former members of his crew, along with other parts of the New York Police Department and the Centralia Police Department, have all been part of this investigation up to this point. We join you now at the Centralia Courthouse, where this trial is underway. This will make or break the Constitution of the United States and its new Vampire Rights Amendment. Will vampires be deemed full citizens of the United States? Or are they still a second-class citizen? The trial begins shortly.
And with that, the jury looks to have a keen eye for Edgar right now, sort of eyeing him up and down. There's mixed faces. Frederick Glum is smiling and seems, you'd almost say, happy to see you. There's a few of them that looks to be a bit on the sympathetic side. Quite a few look skeptical, and a couple even look outright hostile. So that's probably give you a fair idea of who you're gonna have to convince. Meanwhile, the judge, Jackie Spear, looks out over the room and says, "So, does either side feel compelled to open up with their opening statements?" And you notice that Alfred Pearl sort of shoot you guys a look, and he seems inclined that if you want to step up, he'll let you, otherwise he'll take it.
Discussion amongst the team. Traditionally, prosecution has the burden of proof, so them speaking first is typically a way so we know what to respond against.
Indeed, yeah. that would be part of the
form. Yes.
Yeah, so it would probably be better for him to speak first so we know how to respond.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And after a short nod to Alfred Pearl, he rises, sort of straightens up his suit a bit as he takes a couple steps forward to place himself before the judge and the jury, and he sort of angles himself so that everyone can hear him talk. And he begins with, "Miss Judge, dear members of the jury, we're all here today to establish whether this man, Edgar Roz, is guilty of a crime for which him being a vampire would be death. And that would be that during the Vampire Wars, which is now, of course, history, but not ancient history, yesterday's history. During the Vampire Wars, he hid and smuggled out vampires under the assumption that they were completely innocent people who had never done anyone harm. Of course, that will be up to you, dear Yuri, to establish whether that's true or not. Or whether this man, Edgar Ross, could possibly have known such. However, there are a couple of points I'd like to bring before the Yuri before we begin. The first of those points is, of course, that Edgar Ross, when he committed those crimes, was a human man. He committed these crimes before he fell spelled to vampirism, and I suspect that it might give you the idea that he deserves a level of leniency. And under normal circumstances, I would agree with you. I think that the fact that he was an ordinary man like most of us would mean that this was during the war. As we know, the Vampire Rights Act came into effect afterwards and gave vampires citizenry right. And if he was still a man, I'd be inclined to agree that we should show this man some clemency. However, this brings me to my secondary point. And that is the fact that this man, Edgar Ross, is no longer a human man. He is a vampire. And if we were to allow this man to go free for a crime that he committed while he was a man, do we not set legal precedents that a vampire, once they reach the state of vampirism, will be shown leniency towards crimes they committed while they were human, just because the punishment for a vampire is so much more severe than that which we would level against a human? I think you, dear members of the Yuri, can see that that would be an awfully dangerous precedent to set. You know, while we might see every petty criminal go out to seek the state of vampirism to be forgiven for the crimes that they have committed. Thank you. That will be all. And he returns to take his seat.
Okay, brief discussion. Here are the counters. As I'm listening, there are counters to his points. The major ones are that, like, one, people, you presume they're innocent. That was being ignored during the war. Edgar was defending their right. No matter who they are, vampire or human, you all have a right to a fair and speedy trial, and these people were not in active rebellion against the U.S. Finally, and there's a really important point we need to point out, he presents a false dichotomy. While we are arguing that Edgar, that I am completely innocent, he assumes there are only two punishments, death or let go. Vampires could have many other punishments that aren't necessarily detainment. Community service, for example. So don't let the fear of precedent define whether you think this man is guilty or innocent. How's that?
That's an excellent option, Elias. You should go for that one.
Yes.
I know. But I can't even repeat that word for word.
Okay.
Yeah, talk me into it one more time, please.
So, under the Constitution, people are presumed innocent until proven guilty. This was ignored during the war. Whether vampire or human, we all have a right to a fair trial. Before the Vampire Rights Amendment, or even after. And don't let fear of precedent dissuade whether you think my client is innocent. He was protecting the people. He was protecting people's rights, and that there are more than just two punishments for a vampire. Do not let the fear of precedent scare you away from saying this man is innocent.
Wasn't looking forward to this episode. It's alright.
We all aren't. I believe in you, buddy.
Feel free to take the floor whenever you wish.
Should really have written something down today.
Hey, look, I'm writing something down for you.
Yes, thank you. Fuck.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I really, I just get two sentences in and I'm already lost. I know.
Let's figure something out.
Well, alright. What I got so far. We are today for Edgar, the stories about how single people, what they do in the war. Man, Edgar here tried his best to still follow the law as he knew it. Which also meant that people had tried the whole trial thing. I'm so sorry, Nash. I'm really not the best at this.
I'm going to give you my best advice, because here's the thing. This is something I've always used. If you don't want to RP it out, you don't have to. Sometimes you can just describe what you want to say, and if you need to make a roll for it, then you can make a roll for it. That is a totally valid way of going about this.
All right. I realize you might not be able to pull out a speech out of your ass.
Theater training. Don't worry about it. Like, I set an unfortunately high bar for everybody. You don't need to meet that.
Yeah, I'm afraid I have to take the RP at the description option indeed.
So just describe what you think Elias would be saying.
Well, yeah, sketch the image of someone involved in the medical system, a detective. Following his heart during the war, trying to do what he thinks was right. And that though he is a vampire now, it doesn't mean that just because he's a vampire now, his whole past doesn't matter. He's willing to pay for what says, oh no, it is a terrible defending. I'm already settling.
Yeah, you should probably avoid words like
pay for what he done.
Indeed.
Don't hire me as a lawyer, Edgar, really. Yeah.
And I suppose you go through the facts that there's more than two punishment for a vampire. He can.
Yeah, indeed. In a way that doesn't involve saying that Edgar is guilty. Yeah.
That works perfectly fine. You had orator as a skill, right?
Sorry?
You had oratory as a skill, right?
Indeed.
So feel free to use either that one or half your influence, whichever one of those is higher.
Half my influence is still higher. Nice. Alright. Oh. That's a terrible opening speech.
Not that high.
Yeah, don't you worry, I'm lucky. Oh, look at that.
So, you hold a passionate speech about Edgar defending the right of innocence, and there is such a procedure as innocent until proven guilty. Especially since none of these vampires were supposedly found guilty of anything. There is, of course, the point that America were at war with all vampires at the time, which is a topic you have hitherto avoided. But that's left out there a bit. And so you do your best to undermine what Alfred Pearl has been saying. And you notice that some of the members of the jury sort of gives a few nods, looks a bit towards each other. Mainly it's on the side of the people who were already looking to be agreeing with you. But at least those who are on the more skeptical side are talking about your points and taking notes. So that's always something. It's a start.
Good job, boss. Knew you had it in you.
Never get quite used to speeches, even though it's part of my job.
Eh. See, this is why you didn't work in the full public office.
I would like to say that I chose not to, but if you go about it that way, to try to keep me on your side.
Relax. Nervous jitters on my end.
Alright. Round one. We passed.
Time to see for round two. Witnesses.
Indeed.
With those opening statements over with, and I have to say those were some excellent points put forward by either side, Jackie Spaces. I'll allow the prosecution to call for their first witness. Alfred Pearl stands up briefly and says, "The prosecution would like to call former chief of police for the District of New York, Richard Wilson." And
I this glance.
Just and this somewhat portly man enters. He is aging. Looks to be in his higher 70s, maybe low 80s by now. Balding. Portly old man who puts on his glasses as he enters the room, and even though he's old, there is still some power to his body. You do notice that though he has started to get a bit of a bare stomach, he does keep himself in shape generally, though no one would ever say that Richard Wilson was a pretty man, but one has to say that he looks like a sharp man. He straight away, Edgar, throws you a glare as he goes to take a seat.
I stare back and just mild disbelief that this man immediately just decided to throw my whole crew out. There's like this vague look of anger at this man who I vaguely looked up to at one point.
And then there's the whole swearing process where he swears to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, yada yada. Before Alfred Pearl gets up. Mr. Wilson, I'd like to begin by commending you for your exemplary service for New York City. Richard nods appreciatively at that. My first question is, when Edgar Ross committed these acts of vampire smuggling, let us call it that, were you at all aware of his activities at the time? Richard sort of takes a few breaths. He actually, you know him a bit, Edgar, and he actually looks a little bit nervous to be here. So in the public eye, there's actually quite a few cameras here. And he says, no, not until the final week or so of that whole operation, during which I made sure to put a stop to it. Yes, of course. Of course, Wilson, you have ever been an upstanding citizen. Where the actions of Edgar Ross at all odd during this time, would you say? And he responds with, yes, I'd say they were. His whole team weren't quite pulling their weight, and I have no issues with extending the right to Edgar Ross and his whole team, may they rest in peace, that they were very capable officers, but during those months of the Vampire Wars, they were handling their job in general rather poorly. A lot of misplaced files and other such, you understand.
Full influence on that. I want to see if that's what he actually believes, or if he's just saying something that would make him popular.
You mean insight?
That, surprisingly, is a crit.
He seems surprisingly sincere. You actually, with a kind of loathing with which he looked at you, you're surprised to hear that there is a genuine tone of respect in his voice. And you can't but stop and think that maybe if you hadn't done what you did, or if he hadn't found out, maybe the relationship between the two of you would have been completely different. But you get the sense that he has a genuine sense of betrayal that you never told him. And he, of course, doesn't like vampires. You know as much.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfred continues with the question you all pretty much saw coming. This goes, so do you think this hiding under your nose, falsifying files, smuggling away vampires, do you think those are the actions of a law-abiding citizen? And Richard says, no, it's not at all what I'd call the actions of an upstanding citizen. We were under firm orders not to help vampires at the time, or at least report any vampire activities, which he did not do. So, no, those are not the actions of an upstanding citizen. If Edgar and his crew arrested and persecuted vampires who broke the law, I mean, that's up to you.
I mean, no, the more important thing is that, like, this is... I've made it clear that, like, Edgar and his crew still did that. It's just the question, like, I'm posing up hypothetical questions right now in the chat to figure out, like, what to do in the cross.
Then I understand. I thought that question was angle at me.
I'll put them in quotes.
Then ignore that. Alfred Pearl nods and looks at the judge and says, no further questions for now. And he goes to take his seat. And of course, the Jekespear looks over to you and says, the defendants, any questions?
All right, I got a couple of ideas. So first of all, we do have that one. That's a good cross-examination.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fun one ask. Is it true that there were vampires who served on the New York Police Department?
Ooh. That's
a lot. Make sure that Madeline and Vitya get the chance to speak up a bit as well.
Yeah, anybody have any other questions? Like, any other ideas you can come up with for good questions to ask?
Not so far.
I mean, there was the fact that in that final statement he did include falsifying documents, which wasn't directly said by him, Chief. Not just a thing to note, potentially. I don't know how it could be used, but...
So, just so we're clear, he stated that I falsified documents or that I didn't falsify documents?
Alfred Pearl said that you falsified documents.
I do not believe I heard the chief say that directly. He just said you misplaced files.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to bring that up.
Objection?
First, no, not an objection. Just a cross-examination.
All right. This better not be one of those where we actually have to spot opportunities to object, because that will make this very hard.
Oh, I'm keeping an eye out. Don't worry. I'm going to write objection. He blah, 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 blah.
That's why I try to do quite a few pauses when I talk as well, so you do have the chance to speak up.
No, you do expect this from us.
Keep an eye out. I may miss something. I'm not the greatest at this.
I don't know when you're meant to.
Well, there were a few times, but nothing major.
So, okay, yeah, let's begin with with that first question.
The first question is great.
Yeah, let's start with that.
What was his last name again?
Wilson.
Wilson.
Let's be able to... There you go.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Wilson. According to... what do you call it? Shit. Already went wrong. Not the story, but prosecution? All right. All right, Mr. Wilson. According to the prosecution, you said you all right. Just describe again what happens. Elias kind of attacks him, I'd say. Not major, but kind of snitchy tone. About how he makes it seem like Edgar never did arrest any criminals, whether they be vampires or not. And saying that Edgar indeed still tried to uphold the law. And if he saw any unjust things, he did still act the way he was supposed to.
I profoundly apologize if I made it seem like Edgar Ross didn't do his job at all. Of course, he did arrest the occasional vampire as well as other vampires, other criminals. It's just that during the time of the vampire war, he didn't do his work as well as you could expect him.
Thank you very much for the clarification.
Okay. Follow-up question. We need to make sure that we check in on the documents thing. If he could go into more detail about the misplaced documents.
Anything specific or just a general question?
Like, let's just let him tie his own noose. Let's see where he goes.
Yeah. The prosecution said falsifying, but Wilson didn't say that.
Rhonda chips in at this point and says, well, Edgar, is it true or not that your team falsified falsified documents to get vampires out?
Cool. That's a thing I don't think I ever said or ever specified. It's not... Okay. I mean, it's not like that we actually, you know, falsified documents. That'd be too easy. We more did the bureaucratic form of having it get lost in the mail. Misplaced. Which...
Do you think you can put it in such a way that the jury can appreciate the nuance between falsifying and losing?
Ooh, ooh. A good way to think of it would be we were delaying for people to get a better chance when the war was over so they could have a proper trial, as opposed to the obviously guilty ones for whom which we sped up the process. People who were obviously guilty, we kind of sped up that process. People who weren't, we slowed it down. We wanted to make sure that they still got their trial.
It's risky, but if you want to go for it.
But if somebody has a better idea, please say it now.
It's very risky indeed. I'm not sure if you should indeed go down that line. If someone calls you out on that, it will make you less believable for sure.
There is definitely a level, and I think Elias, we're getting that rather deftly, that you're kind of pointing out, oh no, I didn't do this illegal thing, I did that illegal thing.
Yeah. I think what's more important is that we have, you know, like, him specify exactly what he means by misplaced documents so we can use that later.
Yes.
I think if we get, like, the specific thing he says in particular, we can use that against a future witness, perhaps.
All right, I do agree with that. Sure, we're just ask if you can specific examples or just elaborate.
Yes, so you ask him to elaborate on the falsified document. Or what kind of question are you asking him exactly?
Yeah, elaborate.
Say missing documents, what happened?
So, Ross's team were not as speedy with the report as they should have been. Should have been, things were often late or didn't appear at all. Is there any more questions you'd like to ask him?
Save it for closing argument.
Yes.
Yep. All right. That should be all.
All right. I'll have to have another oratorial role from Elias.
Here goes nothing.
Oh no.
There came the fumble.
Oh no. Were you allowed to look fumbles?
You are. If you're a coward.
Well,
I mean,
in this case, I'm very much a coward.
We could fumble. We only asked like two questions.
I already spent a luck point and.
I was about to say this one isn't that bad a one to fail.
I'd say but... take the 3+1 to oratory.
Well.
So you're you're not like pointing that?
No.
Save it for something that matters.
Alright, how bad is a fumble gonna be?
So the effect on the jury seems to be pretty much what Rhonda and you were a bit worried about, that you were essentially pointing out that, well, Edgar went strictly falsifying, he was just doing other shady stuff, and everyone going sort of, but that's still not a good thing. And so there seems to be a sort of ripple of negativity that passes over the jury, and Alfred Pearl looks satisfied. He shoots you all a little smile.
Tug's collar.
Cough, cough.
And they go. Does the prosecution have any further witnesses? And goes, yes, we do. Next. The prosecution calls for Tasha Hay.
Wait a minute. Glances at Elias. Wait a minute. We're defending her in court right now. She can't testify that much against us.
Is it a conflict of interest? Why would you do this?
This is indeed a very big conflict of interest. Let's see where this goes.
All right.
And Tasha Hay enters this. She looks to be rather unkempt right now. While she has no bruises or like signs of evidence police brutality, her hair looks like it's a bit dirty and unkempt. And she's, of course, wearing a arrest uniform. And her hands are shackled together. And she's, of course, fastened to the stand as well as she comes to take a sit. And Alfred Pearl stands up and approaches the stand and says, "Is it true, Miss Hay, that you belong or formerly belonged to the terrorist organization known as Those Who Breathe?" And Tasha says, "Yes, that is, that much is true." And he nods and says, "So, as an anti-vampire terrorist, is it true that these two vampire gentlemen over here," and he gestures at Elias and Edgar, "will be representing you in court?" She nods and says, "Yes, they will be representing me." Says, "Very well. So it seems to me that this individual is representing a known terrorist, whereas it has previously been claimed by the defense that he only stands up for true and upstanding citizens." "Yeah, if you want to object, that's fine."
"Can I make the objection, or should Elias make the objection?"
"Yeah, it's fine if you make the objection."
"Objection, Your Honor, how is this relevant to the current case?"
Spear looks at Pearl and says, "Whereas I suppose this has some use as judge of character, I do believe the defendants are right. How is this pertinent to the current case?" He nods and says, yes, so of course. Let me get back on track. Tasha Hay, is it true that Edgar Ross here will not be getting paid in monetary value for taking your case on?" And she says, "That is true." "Did he get something else in return?" She looks a bit uncomfortable at this point and throws you, Edgar, and Elias a look. Her look seeming to ask, "Should I lie?"
"All right. I want everyone deciding on this."
"I'm gonna shake my head. I think no."
I
personally think no, but if we do say no, there's a catch. We have to really defend that we wouldn't have said we would defend her if we didn't believe that people deserve a right to a trial. We are the modern John Adams, damn it.
Yeah.
Well,
Doc.
Yep.
I feel like it's so well if we just tell the truth at the same time. It is that risk element. Same either way, so.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. You could have a lie, but if she gets caught, that makes us look bad.
And indeed, perjury is a criminal offense.
Yeah, let's not add bullshit to bullshit.
All right, so you shake your head.
Yep.
Tasha sort of gives you a look of on your heads be it. As she says, yes, I provided them with some information. Alfred Pearl says, mm-hmm. So it seems, De Jure, that Edgar Ross's high and mighty morals are for sale. That will be all for me.
All right. I do have some question ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Let's toss them around. Question one. Is it not true that when we decided to take your case, you and we vehemently disliked each other? And is it not true that we also said we believe everyone deserves a trial? My morals aren't for sale. That, like, we gotta get that across.
Yes.
It's more like we know she couldn't pay, so we took something else so we could also establish our credibility as honest, impartial people trying to make judgments.
Yes.
Like, that really should be what we're going for, I think. Like,
I think that does put in the best light.
Like, Edgar isn't an immoral criminal who takes information instead of monetary value. What would be if anything, if he took the money, that would make him look worse.
Yeah, it really would.
Yeah.
Information, though, is him showing sympathy to criminals, no matter of what stripe. Showing that he cares that they get honest, fair representation. And also, I talk like this, and I put my thumbs in my armpits while I walk towards the window. I'm a simple Southern lawyer.
Also, didn't she provide her housing after she already gave us her information?
Repeat?
Didn't we provide her housing after she already gave us information, or am I confusing
wrong
her
person,
with someone
wrong person.
Else?
That's the,
all right.
That's the woman in the park. This is the
yes.
politician turned terrorist who was at the church bombing.
Oh, yeah, the woman in the park as well as one of your witnesses.
That bitch.
Yeah.
I remember her.
We're defending her in court because we needed the information, and also because it's going to look good for our law firm if we show that we're that we take anyone, no matter what stripe.
All right, how can we prove that we were against her at first?
Well, ask her. I think we already know the answer if we ask her this. When we offered your help, what was your initial reaction? You know, something like that.
All right, thought about it already. You could just very simply actually ask how we first came to meet.
Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah.
Mention that.
Oh, I'm useful. All right, Elias asks her what the circumstances were when we first met each other.
We first met each other when I performed the bombing outside of the Assumption. There's a few gasps and muttering whispers between one another at that.
The bombing, for need I remind you, was taken place at a church and mostly killed vampires. Yet, Edgar here didn't hesitate to defend her in court.
Yes, Edgar will, and yourself will be defending me in court despite that.
Edgar, how do, yeah. Could you segue that bit in of yours?
And did we not also mention that that we were doing this, that we still vehemently disagreed with you and your stances.
To my awareness, you vehemently disagree with my stance that all vampires should die, yes?
And yet we still chose to defend you because we believe everyone deserves a trial.
That much is true.
Oh, Elias, I'll let you make the closer. In short, our morals aren't for sale. If anything, we're sticking to them. I'll leave you to make that speech.
You want me to speech again? Is anything I can add to that?
I think it would be, like, the idea is that, like, I'm thinking, like, Edgar basically throws to you to the idea, like, as a question. So then, we didn't sell our morals. We just stuck to the principle that governs this country. That we're currently debating about with the vampires from the war.
Even when it involves people who have an issue with our very being.
Yeah, with people we disagree with. We just give a quick little carouse, like, if anything, he is the modern John Adams defending the British.
No, we're not saying that.
Come on! Edgar,
you're
patriotism!
No, Elias. You're not letting us in.
Elias, patriotism!
You have already been compared to one war hero. Elias decides to not overdo it.
Yes.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Nonetheless, it's some very compelling arguments you put forward, and I'm actually not going to have you roll this time, because I think it's fairly clear that you presented some really good arguments, and as both of you pointed out, Alfred Pearl was kind of leading her on and sort of throwing you in a bad light. And you pointed that out rather successfully. So no need to roll this time.
Ooh.
Bring on his third witness.
Any further witness? Yes, we do have a last witness, Your Honor. It's someone I think everyone here is familiar with. The prosecution call Chief McKenzie of the Centralia Police Department. And she comes in with her back straight, sort of throwing a disgusted look at the cameras that are up. But she walks in and takes a seat, looking almost annoyed to be here. Madeline.
Yeah.
You feel a slight tugging, almost like it, as if something is tugging from your ear, but from the inside. And you get the sensation that the serpent inside you is trying to communicate something with you. It's trying to get you to do something, to draw from it. It's not the sensation you get when a while earlier you did whatever it was you did to Rachel Woods. It's trying to get you to do something else, but it needs you to actively do it. To actively make the decision to reach out for it.
All right. I guess paying attention to it?
You pay attention to it and you feel the serpent and how it's lodged just underneath your throat, and it just wants you to let the power out.
This feels like a horrible time to do that.
Do we notice any of this?
It's happening inside, Madeline. If you're paying attention to Madeline right now, you can roll insight.
Sorry.
You're our only hope to do this.
I'm sitting next to her. I look over, just like...
Mm. Yeah, Vitya might be paying attention to her.
Yeah, you can roll an insight, Vitya.
Let's see if I notice anything.
I can pick a taste on my head, so you...
Nope.
Oh, no.
She looks as high-strung as she usually is.
Yeah.
What's new?
So with no real aid from the rest of your party, Madeline, that this is a decision you have to make for yourself.
I don't want this to have bad consequences, but I feel like it could be like... I feel like this is going to be one of those things that's equal parts helpful and very, very dangerous. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, for now, she's just going to sit tight and not do anything because she's afraid of what the consequences might be.
You get the sense that it's now or never, it's not going to offer again.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. Fine. Okay, whatever's going to happen, let it happen.
Give me a exalt roll.
You have no idea how scared I am right now this second. And it failed anyway.
What is your exhort skill at?
My exhort skill is at... Find it. It's at 34 currently. Yeah, all right, yeah. Boys, I'm going to luck it. I hear you. Come on. Oh, that's worse. Ugh.
Too bad. You feel like it's trying to pull something out of you, but you also get this conflicting feeling inside of you that if you hadn't been so busy fighting this thing every step of the way, maybe it would have some more wiggle room to actually help. For now, you do feel like it's, again, it's trying to accomplish something, but it's not quite getting there. We will get back to that at some point, but for now you just have this distressingly, this uncomfortable feeling inside of you that of this serpent trying to push through you in some way that you're not familiar with.
Blech. Yep, just gonna sit and maintain composure.
Meanwhile, Alfred Pearl walks up to Chief Mackenzie. And he says, Chief Mackenzie, since this man, Edgar Ross, has arrived in our fair city of Centralia, has he been known to you, committed any crimes? And she sort of makes leans from either side a little bit. She doesn't look comfortable to be here at all. And she says, not committed a crime directly. Alfred Pearl follows up with, not directly. Could you catch us up on that? Well, the police found a piece of evidence at a car crash scene, a most odd car crash scene, where a flamethrower had been used to light up a vehicle from within. Now, of course, Edgar Ross cannot have been responsible for that, since he was not at the scene at the time. Yet, his fingerprints were all over the weapons, and according to the officers at the scene, and there are a few pictures that places Edgar Ross talking to them as well. He was the one to find this key piece of evidence and cover it in his own handprints. And Alfred Pearl goes, mm-hmm. And is it your opinion as a police officer yourself and a servant of the law that Edgar Ross would have been aware of what he was doing? And she continues with, there's no possibility that Edgar Ross was not aware of what he was doing. It was thoroughly covered in his prints. And and Alfred Pearl goes, very well, no more questions. Madeline?
Yep.
You're having another push from within, and it seems to have enough energy to make one more try, but that's going to be the final one. If you'll let it this time as well.
Okay. Dice fail me. I'm lucking it and praying very, very hard.
If you luck point and reverse that, that will actually be enough. Since yes. The serpent is actively assisting you.
Okay, that's another luck point to flip the score then. And then we'll see what happens.
You flip the score, and for a moment you feel like the area on your stomach where you have the tattoo of the serpent, it's like it goes ice cold and like a thousand tiny little needles just prick into you. And for a moment you... What is the thing Madeline fears the most?
Used to be giant weights, but I'm not sure anymore.
It used to be snakes.
It used to be snakes.
And now you have a sort of hard time sensing it, but it does suit what we're going for. You picture a serpent for a brief moment, and it's eating itself like it's consuming the very fear that it's made out of. And it reaches out around, and you're the only one who sees this, and it happens in the flash of an eye. But that serpent that's eating itself is sort of wrapping itself around Chief Mackenzie, and instantly consumes itself. You have just learned a new miracle, and it's called Pacify Fear, which removes the greatest fear someone has. Uh, And it's your turn to ask questions.
Huh. That's all you had to say?
Neat.
All right. All right, boss, I have something. All right, but wait, what? Doc, did something happen?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, the four of you, as well as Rhonda, of course, could hear a hiss coming out of of Madeline's lips for the briefest moment.
Oh no. Doc, that's too physical for me.
Doc, what did you do?
I don't know, okay?
Okay, shh. We'll find out. Calm. Okay. Boss. We gotta find out. Were there any other prints on the gun?
There had to be. Why?
If they find Natasha's prints, then that gives us an excuse to mention that she's my daughter, that I knew that she wanted to get a hold of that flamethrower, that I didn't want her to have it, and that seeing that at the crime scene, my nervous dad energy kicked in, and I was looking out for the people I love.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, first off, there aren't any legal documents to say that she's your daughter, but sure, maybe they'll buy it.
I mean, if we need to...
I mean, technically, according to the cop, she's mine.
Yeah.
Yes, we have one piece of evidence, though. If we ask Joseph who Tatiana Morozova is, that will give an answer. Since Joseph knows who my fiance was, so we can back up that claim later.
You're gonna just lay your whole story out, I see.
At this point, boss, what other choices do we have?
Well, I'm a little afraid Natasha will bring up more questions than to answer.
Having the idea of here getting their hand on the floor as well could bring up a he's a bad father angle.
Indeed it could.
She's an illegal child, I believe.
Indeed, she is technically an illegal immigrant. Okay. Let's think about this. How else could we justify my prints on the gun? We could mention that it is basically irrelevant, but no, this time he's got to...
I don't think that will happen. I don't think it has mine on it anymore. It was a long time ago I gave it to her.
Yeah. I think it's important that we ask who had the other prints. And that the fact that Vidya is in fact the legal father...
Wait a second.
It gives me no motive.
Edgar, they wouldn't recognize the prints.
What?
She's illegal. She isn't in the system, right?
She isn't in the system except with Vidya.
Ah, shit.
Yes.
But nonetheless, that's technically Vidya now. That's technically Vidya's child, not mine.
Yeah.
As a result, you can make the plea of ignorance. I had no clue. I didn't know about that the flamethrower belonged to a child. Who gives a child a flamethrower?
Honestly,
it is a normal gift in country.
Yeah,
Who would do that?
Yeah, who would?
Who would do that? I wouldn't, because I don't have a child. The records say as much.
Elias up on the stand being, who would ever do that? I would never be so irresponsible.
I would never be so...
I was really hoping her fingerprints were in the system, because then you could...
They are in the system. They took her fingerprints.
Because you could invalidate the whole argument.
But remember, not my child. Vidya's child. Legally.
I don't remember if we specified that or not.
We did.
Alright. I'll bring it up.
Let's just first ask, were there any other prints?
Yes. Elias asks, is there any other prints?
there were some proof of other prints present, but none that we could successfully discover.
Oh, wait,
you made sure to smear it all over. I remember that.
Yeah.
So wait. So let me just respond. So, for all you know, anybody else could have held that, and since Edgar wasn't at the scene of the crime until post facto, you have no way of making the assertion that he did anything. That he had anything to do with it. After all, Edgar was in front of the police and is a wanted man. He would, of course, be very nervous and make a dumb mistake. Uh-huh. You'd have to make that argument, though. Edgar couldn't.
No, of course you can't.
But you have to admit, it's a good argument angle.
It's a start. All right, so, yeah, I bring up how, one, Edgar indeed had a place set already. And, well, that you can't connect him for 100% crime because of that. How did you want to sell? Did your fingerprints all over the flamethrower?
Edgar was a wanted man.
Huh?
There were police officers at the scene. Of course he would be nervous and make a dumb mistake.
But why would you grab the flamethrower?
Well, I saw it and picked it up. If they ask, why were you at the car? What good Samaritan would not stop to help out at a car wreck?
Yes.
All right. We could maybe say that you were trying to secure the flamethrower because you weren't sure if the car was attacked.
I wonder if they're bringing this up and I have to go on the stands.
So, then you could say that you saw the crash, you saw the flamethrower, maybe thought that the car was attacked by somebody, and tried to secure the weapon so it couldn't be used again.
Mm-hmm.
The car was covered in the flames, and who in the mind would fire a flamethrower inside the car?
Right, we got a story.
Yes.
Do I need to repeat that, or is that fine?
Yeah, you can just run with that. I think that's good.
That's good. Just to summarize the main point so I understood it, you're explaining that Edgar was nervous. Is that correct? And bungled it up because of that?
Yeah, nervous, and he grabbed a flamethrower because he thought it was used for hostile intent. Instead of just slaving it down on the ground.
And Edgar did, in fact, give it over to the police. Assisting in the law.
Yes.
Yeah. That's still going to be a deceit roll, though.
Oh, yes.
Come on, you're a politician. You're good at lying.
With my luck, it's going to be another 100. Oh, nice. Yeah, I succeed that.
Tasha has this sort of a brief glazed over expression at some of the points while you're talking, sort of like she's distracted by something or thinking over something. I meant Tara, by the way, not Tasha. And she says, I believe it's definitely possible that Edgar Ross may have been nervous at the time. Of course, he was a wanted man in our systems up to up to this trial. So, of course, it's understandable that he'd be nervous around police. It is commendable, I think, that he still handed over the evidence. Even with him being a wanted man. If I may, Your Honor, am I free to extrapolate a theory I have? And Jackie Speer looks a bit like she wouldn't even consider it if it was anyone else but the chief of police. But she throws Elias a look and says if the defense is fine with it.
I, Edgar, and Rhonda.
I see no harm in it. Rhonda, you?
I see great potential harm here, but I say if you think it's a good idea, then go for it.
See, it's against you, Edgar.
Hear her out, though. I think if we work with her, maybe we might get some more. We could probably build up a case of it. That's just me to myself.
Oh, you're always so trusting.
Truth sets men free.
It's your case. All right. Let's hear her out.
My own understanding of the defendant, of Edgar Ross, is that he is a man who wants to protect those he considers innocent. And I believe that in this case of the flamethrower, he was likely trying to do the same thing, defending someone he thought was innocent. Now, while I think there is an argument to be made that what he did was unlawful, both in the case of the flamethrower and the vampires, I'd like to say that I think it was commendable that he stood up for his morals during a time when many of us didn't dare to. Alfred looks surprised at that.
I give a salute.
Some of you have a chance to watch the audience a bit more. Madeline and Vitya, you... the two of you can roll insights, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that did not pass.
Did mine pass? Insight? That just passed. Just scraped a pass.
So there's no surprise to either of you that Walter Quick looks greatly annoyed at this in general. However, you're both surprised to see a twitch of surprise and a brief flash of anger pass over Erica's face. Jackie Speer asks, any further questions?
No further questions, Your Honor. I don't think so. Elias?
No. Let's go ahead with the...
And no further questions here. And, of course, Chief McKenzie leaves. There's a question if there's any more witnesses from the prosecution. And Alfred Pearl says, no further witnesses, in a way that seems to apply that he has no further, for now, at least.
Oh, worrying.
You do notice some members of his team are briefly texting something now and again. So it's possible that something else might show up later. But the ball is passed over into your court.
Well there, ladies, folks, and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow in part 2 of the trial when the defense pleads its case. It's been pretty intense so far. We figured it'd be good to split up into 2 episodes. The fate of Centralia and of Edgar Roz lies in the hands of our fair jury.